Mobile.
Hey, Rusty, how you doing today? N4DJC.
To finish backing out of the parking space here, I was backing in out of, so I gotta go figure out how I want to get out of this shop, out of this parking lot.
For making it into the machine or not, all the trees are filled up with leaves again now, so I don't know whether I'm making a repeater okay or not.
A noise on your signal, but otherwise you're readable. My problem was I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get in too well because I was sitting right up next to a building over here at the office depot where I was. So, it's kind of hard to get out sometimes when you're up right in front of one of these buildings, and that's what I was. So, anyway, well, I've gone out, spent all my money, now I'm headed home.
I don't know if that's good or bad, Rusty. If you spent all of it, you're telling me you spent all the money that you wanted to spend or needed to spend, correct?
Yeah, roger on that. Wasn't all my money. No. Can't let that happen. Anyway, it's not bad out here today. My thermometer on the car says 68 out here, so it's not too bad. And I'm riding. I'm wearing long pants, but I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt, and I'm riding with the car window down, so go figure.
I just made my little walk around my perimeter of my yard, and the lot next door has not been. I cleared a little bit of it off, but the guy hadn't been back in a year to work on it, so I was over there getting some of that poison ivy, chopping those big leaves going up in those trees in the root system. Just cut it out that way. That's the only way really to kill it, to start killing it anyway, to keep it from suffocating some of those trees over there. I'm cautious about how I handle it. I usually do it with an axe and just cut a chunk out of it near the base of the tree. Some of those things were, some of those vines running up there, the feeders, that was bigger around my thumb or more.
Be a nasty bit of stuff. It has a tendency to give you problems. I used to be able, when I was young, when I was about in the second or third grade, I can't remember which, I think it was second grade, I got into some poison sumac, me and a buddy of mine. We were out playing, and got into some poison sumac, and I had it over 85% of my body. And after that, for years, after I had that, because it was pretty bad, I could walk through a field of poison ivy, reach down, grab leaves, squeeze them in my hands, brush my hands off, and keep walking, and I'd never get nothing from it. Not anymore. All I got to do is look at it wrong, and I get some.
I've always been real cautious around it. I knew what it was when I was a little kid. We didn't have a lot of it where we lived, but I always keep an eye on it in the fall. You know, it turns yellow in the fall, I can identify it pretty easily then. I used to do a lot of trail fishing and that kind of thing.
Scratchiness and everything. Of course, it could have been a little bit where I was too, but I mean, I didn't get anything out of that. And poison ivy is easy to see, but poison sumac doesn't have the same leaf pattern as poison ivy does. And that's what I got into. And Buddy and I were both playing. We were climbing in trees, and we didn't know it. Like I said, we were 6 or 7 years old at the time, so it was one of those things that happened. Oh, it's a pretty day out here, you know, for what it is, for Memorial Day. And I wonder how the race went yesterday or if it's today. I can't remember which. I think it's today is race day, so I wonder how the race went, is going.
I'm only running 5 watts. I'm probably not getting out. I don't know the, I know how the Charlotte race turned out yesterday, but I don't know, I can't remember the guy, the kid that won it now, but I'm probably in a bad spot now. I probably better sign until I can get in a better place. M4DJC, clear and listening.
Well, you were much better there. That was a fine, that spot is, whatever that is, you got it. That was locked. Don't move it from there. That was good. And yeah, I know they had a race at Charlotte yesterday. That was the NASCAR, but they've got an Indy race. The Indianapolis 500 is this weekend, so I don't know whether that was yesterday or today. I can't remember whether it's a Sunday race or a Monday race anymore, since I don't watch it too much.
Today morning, they've already run the Indy. They usually get finished up about 12 o'clock or so, something like that. I don't remember whoever won it. He won it 4 times before. I don't remember the guy's name. But when somebody, I don't follow any racing that much. I can't remember the guy's name now, Rusty, but he'd won it 4 or 5 times before.
The pole sitter, because he had won it about, the pole sitter had won it about 4 times or 5 times, and the other two people on the front row had never won at all. And I was just wondering how that mostly all-women team came out yesterday in that race, because they had an all-women's team racing at Indy yesterday, or almost all women. It'd be interesting to see how find out how they came out.
No, like I said, I didn't watch it, and I didn't follow it yesterday. I was fiddling around with other stuff yesterday morning and really forgot that they were running it until late on in the afternoon, and I saw who won, and I said, I didn't recognize. I said, I don't, I used to enjoy watching it years ago when I knew all the drivers' names. Now I don't know any of them. Same thing with NASCAR. I don't know, hardly know anybody in NASCAR now, just a handful of people that were racing, 15 years ago, and most of them now are either got the sons or grandkids running in it.
For sure. That's for sure. I used to watch all of the NASCAR races I could, and I watched as many of the Indy races that were on TV as I could, but over the years it just got so it wasn't interesting anymore. And NASCAR, with that crap they pulled 2 years ago, I think it was, whatever it was, when they went all bananas because of something, a rope that was found hanging in a garage, that there was like 8 or 10 of them there. It wasn't like whatever they were trying to make it out to be. But anyway, I've gotten so I don't watch them anymore. It just doesn't thrill me anymore. Well, James, I'm about to get pulled into the yard, so I'm going to go ahead and say 7-3 to you. You have a good one, and we'll catch you later. N4DJC, W2T, 7-3s.
Okay, Rush, have a good afternoon. Good talking to you. Have a good day, Dave. N4DJC, clear.
Okay, Jim. N4JDC. Jerry, you still there?
Hey, Bill, how you doing this morning? I didn't know if I was getting into the machine very well or not. I got still in Rusty. My leaf cover has gotten the better of me now. I got trees full of leaves now, and I can't get through to the repeater very well.
You're all the way over here to Hartwell and back, so there's just a little bit of white noise, but I wouldn't even consider it worth mentioning.
Well, I haven't changed. I'm only running about 10 watts now, but usually I can get in on 10 pretty easily. But I can tell by my S meters, I'm not receiving the machine as well as I was, a couple months ago. But like I said, it's got nothing to do with your signal. Your signal's probably a lot better than mine is, and you've got a little tiny little bit of white noise, or just more due to my reception than anything, Bill.
Pushing 5 watts, so I'm on my handheld out on the carport, so that's probably got something to do with it. and the leaves, because once the leaves get on, I lose connections to some repeaters back toward Athens. In the wintertime, I'm good, but once those leaves come on, they too much interference.
I can't get up. Even if I mounted something on the rooftop, I think if I mounted something outside on the roof, I might do a little better. But I got a 65-watt rig I can run to, and it may be a little bit better on receive. I know I can usually get in pretty easy with 25 watts on it, but it gets pretty warm, and it's not, the receive on is pretty good, but it's not as good as some of the other stuff I got. But normally I can get in fairly well. I can get in pretty well with a ground plane during the winter time. But, I'm still inside. Have you already cooked today, or are you starting to cook?
I've already cooked my macaroni and cheese, my green beans, my pea salad, my potato salad, and ribs are cooking right now. So I got about a 3-hour break while the ribs cook real slow on the first leg of it, and I'll wrap them and put a little apple juice with them and cook them for another hour and a half, 2 hours, and then put a little sauce on them and they'll be done.
Smoking those, Bill, or how you doing those?
I'm cheating. I'm cooking them in the oven. I got a whole brand new bag of lump charcoal from a big green egg, but I just didn't feel like fooling with it.
I've been using charcoal now the last 4 or 5 years. I don't have a big green egg, but I've just got they call it a portable kitchen. It's, I used to make them back in the 50s. It's all aluminum top and bottom. It cooks real well. That's just not a very big grill. And I usually get just regular charcoal. Sometimes I use lump charcoal, but it just takes so long to get it ready. A lot of times I just use regular Kingsford charcoal with it and let it burn down good. And then cook it off the fire. And I don't know if I've tried any ribs with this or not. It would cook them okay, I think. But because I got a little elevated place I can put on it and just keep it off direct heat. But I don't know. When you're dealing with a big green egg, that's a lot of effort to get it working good and get everything cooking. But the results are great. It's just time consuming to get that thing, get it hot.
The big green egg, I love it, but in order for me to cook ribs on it, from the time I walk out the door until I can put ribs on it, is about 45 minutes to an hour. And that's getting it fired up, getting all the coals going, and then getting it back down the temp where I want it, about 225. So, like I said, I cheated today. I hate to say it, but I don't think they'll know the difference.
As long as I can get a little bit of char on it on the outside, I just, like I said, I'd eat my hamburgers nowadays. I'll go out there and put them on and then cook them for a little bit on one side, cook them for a little bit on the other side, and just, bring them off the hot side, just sit them on the indirect side, let them finish up. They used to turn out better that way. But I ran gas for years, but I never got the hang of cooking with gas. So I just couldn't, it was always too hot or something. I just couldn't, I didn't learn to cook on it. I had the cane for probably 15 years or so, and I like the grill itself, but I just never could cook on the thing.
Two gas grills. I got one Gretel, big Gen Air gas grill. And I've got a Holland gas grill, which is a flameless, or they call it flameless because it won't flare up the way it's made. And I cook hot dogs and pretty much chicken wings on it. That's about the only thing I cook on a gas grill.
That's a nice grill. I haven't seen those for sale in a while. That's That's the ones I remember, Bill, were stainless steel. Is that one stainless, or is it some other material?
It's stainless. I bought it off Facebook. I give $100 for it with a full tank of gas, and I got to looking it up, and it's about a $500 grill.
They would lease that much. I remember White Jones over on the over Chocolate Ferry. They used to carry a bunch of different grills. They had these portable kitchens over there for a while, and then I looked at it, and I wasn't real sure if she'd like cooking on it, but I bought that thing. I bought mine on Amazon. I didn't pay as much. It did take about 15 minutes to put it together because it's got aluminum top and bottom on it, and all the stuff inside is replaceable. And the only thing you replace on it is the little grills themselves. Those things aren't for about 20 or 30 bucks. They're not very expensive, even though they're carbon steel. And I've really enjoyed cooking on that thing. It cooks better than anything I've cooked on in years. But I remember those olives. Those were really, really nice grills. They had several sizes in them, but the standard size is the one you got. Those things were. They were at least $500, maybe more than that. But that was a really nice grill.
I take it back. I have cooked chicken halves on it. Like I said, it won't flare up, so you don't have to worry about grease dripping or anything else causing a flare up. You can turn it up and close the lid and forget about it. And it'll cook, about 6 chicken halves, I guess, and 50 wings at one time. It's a pretty decent-sized grill. But I saw it on Facebook way off in Reed Creek, and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just a gas grill, and I went down there and bought it, and the guy had a cover for it and had all the books and manuals and everything, and all the instructions are in Dutch. And so I had to look it up online to figure out how to use the thing.
I remember they had a small one I think that's the one. I may be thinking about another grill, but they had a small one. It was like a tabletop grill or something for, tailgating at one time. But it still wasn't a little grill. It was a pretty good-sized grill. And then they had the other ones that were the size of those bigger Webers. But it was all stainless steel. It was a real impressive grill. I know White Jones sold a bunch of those things back in the 90s, I think. They had one guy that worked in there. That's all he did was, he handled all the grill stuff. And they had I don't remember if they had the big green eggs then or not, but they had several grill types there. And I always liked that. Holland was one of the best looking ones I'd seen. It was just expensive as heck, Dave. But those big green eggs, they don't give them babies away either.
And believe it or not, I got mine for free. A guy bought it and had more money than sense, and he didn't like how long it took to get it ready to cook. And I was over at his house. We were over Sunday school class over his house one day, swimming in the pool, and I saw it back in the corner of the garage covered up, and he was cooking on a gas grill, and I said, "Why aren't you cooking on your green egg?" He says, "I hate that thing." He says, "It takes too long." I said, "My kids, when they're ready to eat, they're ready to eat." And we talked for a little bit, and he said, "If you want it, take it home." And I thought he was kidding, but before I left, I went home with it, and that's been 15 years ago, I guess.
Right there. Even the medium ones are expensive. My son, James, he works at Grady's, and they sell them. And some of the big ones, they're $4,000 now. I remember when they started selling those things back in years ago, and they were expensive then. I think the last place I remember, first time I remember seeing them was somewhere, someplace in Atlanta specialized in them, and they were selling someplace. I might have been even to camp. Somewhere in the camp county, but there was one place there that sold them, and I remember seeing those things, and I said, "Man, I'd love to have one, but I don't have a place to store one outside. That thing is too heavy to move around much." if I had a patio or something like that, I can, you know, that would be a good addition for me to have. But then again, though, you got to have at least a medium or large to get one big enough to cook on. And those things probably weigh 200 pounds, I guess.
What I have is a large, and I had a friend of mine build me a table for it. So I got, you know, it's sitting down in a table and got some cooking space on it. It's got wheels and it's got a handle on one end where I can move it around. But I've got it under the little metal carport where I park my truck or try to when it's not full. But, yeah, it's a good 150, 175 pounds because it was all me and one other guy could do to lift it up and put it in the truck to get it home. And then when I got my table, it was, again, all we could do to get it off that little nest, as they call it, and put it in the table. Well, they are heavy. It's probably 2 inches thick ceramic in that firebox, or maybe even three.
If you didn't have anything that requires like a spring, you know, those lids, that the lid on that thing had a little, I think if I remember correctly, it had like a spring assisted deal on it, because you can't get that thing up and down. You could, that thing would break your hand if it fell on it. But I know the ones that right now, like that, that large, that's a great grill, Dave. And it needs something like that. You know, it's good to have those tables, those little carts for them. Hey, Rick, when you buy one from Big Green Eagles, the carts are cost more than I pay for a grill, probably.
I traded on the table for some IT stuff, so I worked out pretty good. The only thing I had to buy was a 12x12 paver to go between the grill and the table. And other than that, it's just been cooking away for the last 15 years.
Those things last forever. I don't think it's other than a few metal parts that's on it, nothing to go bad with. I don't think, I guess if you dropped it or if it fell, that might damage it, but otherwise that thing's like they are thick. I imagine you could drop it and break it, but otherwise that thing's going to sit there and cook from now on.
Got a, it come with a porcelain grill in it, and back, you know, 15 years ago, they've changed since then, but now they come with cast iron grates, but I bought a cast iron grill grate for it, and a cast iron chimney top for it when I first got it, and I mean, it's, that's the trick there. When I cook a steak, I get that thing red hot, almost white hot, and then just turn off the flues, throw the steaks on it, let them cook for a few minutes on each side, and pull them off, and it's done.
There's a place, I can't remember, somewhere in North Carolina, I can't remember where it is now, it's on the other side of Concord. I was moving some machinery out of a yarn mill up there, and there was a place there in town where they cooked steaks and they cooked theirs in some type of rock oven or something. I think it ran Albemarle maybe, but that thing was seared. I mean, it was as good as anything I ever put in my mouth. It was tender on the side, but the way they had it, just like you talking about, it was just so hot you couldn't get near the, wherever they had to put them in with some kind of long handle device. It's almost like it was sitting on a piece of rock or something. That thing, they said they've been doing it that way for years there, but they said that thing seared it. Man, that thing wasn't in that 10 minutes, Bill. They just took it off to the side, like you said, and let it sit there and finish cooking out. Man, it was as good as I've had. That sounds like where that Big Green Egg is. I got a buddy of mine lives in Montana. He cooks on one all the time. I classify him as a chef. He cooks some of the best looking stuff I've ever seen cooked on one. I mean, he cooks on it all the time, winter or summer. But once you get the hang of it, it looks like it's a great grill to cook on. Like you say, though, it isn't something to slap a couple of hot dogs on, though.
I've cooked hot dogs on it, but only after I've cooked steaks and hamburgers and everything else. But You can adjust those airflows on that chimney and on the bottom. And I've smoked turkeys at Thanksgiving. I mean, it makes one of the best smoked turkeys you ever had. It'll lock in at whatever temperature you want once you learn how to work in flues. But I can lock it in right at 225, 230, and I'd get up about midnight, put the turkey on, go back to bed, and it'd be ready by 7:30 the next morning. It can smoke, grill, char. Like I said, it's the thermometer on it reads 1,000 degrees, and I've had it up to 800 when I cook steaks. But it's a fine machine, that's for sure.
That heat treated knife blade, that thing.
Do what they call burp 'em. When you get them that hot, you have to just barely crack the lid, close it, crack it a little more, close it, crack it just a little more, then close it, then you can open it. If you just open that thing up at 800 degrees, it literally just will throw out a fireball. I learned that the hard lesson. When I first got it, I didn't remember all the tips and tricks from reading, and I burned all the hair off my arms and knuckles and everything else, and it's a wonder I didn't singe my eyebrows. But after about once of that, you learn to burp it, and because they've got a seal on the top and the bottom gasket made out of Nomex, and that's what allows you to do the smoking. I mean, and when you shut them flues off, it's airtight.
Singed my lashes and eyebrows before. I've done that a time or two. But not at 800 degrees. That'll put a scald on something there. So wonder you didn't get a second degree burn on it. On yourself. That's interesting. I think I've heard that. I got another guy who lives, a friend of mine who lives up in Charlotte. He's one of these Traeger pellet grills, I think. He likes it pretty well, but I don't understand how those things work that well, but I think if I ever bought something, different again, if I had, if I was cooking enough for a lot of people, especially, I would mind trying. We looked at one, but if you don't get large, the mediums the large is really the best buy, but, they're really expensive, and I didn't see the utility in it no more than we don't have any, the kids are just starting to come back over now. We don't cook out a lot, and I really don't have a place to put one. If I had a patio, I definitely consider having one.
Decide you want one. October, when they have their fall Oktoberfest, as they call it, Big Green Egg, they have a cook-off in Atlanta. And they have about 150 or 200 grills, and they're all brand new, and they cook on them for that one day for that competition. And after the competition, they sell them. And you can buy, they're all extra larges, so it's a big one. But you can buy those, you have to sign up in advance to buy it, but you can buy the extra large Green Egg, the Nest, and I want to say a couple little accessories, but it's about $600 or $700. I mean, it's about half of what one costs, because they don't want to have to haul them back, and they don't have any problem selling them. A friend of mine, he bought one a few years back, and I mean, he loves it, and a friend of his, he signs up, he gets two or three of his friends to sign up. He'll buy three, four, five, sell all of them but one at a little profit to pay for his. So there's always a way if there's a will.
Enterprise saying that's pretty smart. But, that's a deal. $600 is a deal on, it'd be a deal on large, much less an extra large with all the stuff on it. I know I said, I can get a discount on one, but I wouldn't get that kind of discount on that one, even that big. But like I said, if I had a patio or enough concrete to put one, sit one on, I'd definitely consider having one, even if I had to push it out there. That stuff just don't roll on the grass very well. I think about doing some concrete work maybe this summer or later on this fall, we can find somebody to do it. But building materials are so expensive right now, and all these people are backed up. It takes you forever to find somebody to do that kind of stuff, and even then you're paying pretty close to double what it cost, you know, a year ago.
It is definitely a booming industry. I mean, I was talking to somebody this week, and they were telling me a 1-inch sheet of plywood is either $78 or $88, and half inch is like $60, a 4x8 sheet. And 2x4s are right at $10 a piece for an 8-foot 2x4. It's ridiculous.
They're about $8, I think, and that's not treated. That's just regular, probably it might even be a number two grade, but plywood, I think a sheet of 3/4 inch is probably $70, maybe more now. It's just not getting better until they can get the transportation situation set up straight up and get these gas prices down. It's going to be high, I guess. They got the materials, but they don't seem to be able to get it here.
If we're going to wait on gas to go down, we might have a while. I hope it does, because I burn about a tank and a half a week going to work, and each tank is about $42. So I'm spending about $65 a week on gas.
I just hope they don't do something silly and making it starts going back up to $4 or $5 a gallon. And that'd tank the economy if that happens. And they need to open that and go ahead and keep working on that pipeline. I don't know what the deal is with that. I ain't gonna get into politics about it, but it just sounds stupid to me. But I don't understand that at all. We can get where we're self sufficient, now we're having to buy gas, buy oil from somebody else. That just doesn't make any sense at this point in time. But anyway, I get off my soapbox. But it's terrible. I hate it for anybody's got to drive like you have to, as far as you have to drive. And a lot of people drive back and forth from all lands, and I hear them, just raising cane about how expensive the gas is. I mean, 30 cents a gallon doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot when you're burning, a tank or more a week at least.
It gets expensive, and the more money I have to put in gas, the less money I got to spend on going out to eat or buying something extra, so it all trickles down. But anyway, enough said on that. Y'all doing any cooking out today, or y'all already had y'all's Memorial Day cookout?
Didn't have anything ready today. It was just me and Lynn. My son was here today too, so I went out the easy way. I went down to cookout barbecue and picked up some barbecue down there. Papa's Pig is usually really good, but they're usually closed on Mondays. I don't know whether they were open today or not. I don't think so. They probably sold out anyway. I like their barbecue pretty well, but I haven't been cooking out as much lately. It's been so hot, and today I thought it was going to rain. I mean, it looked like it was going to rain all morning, so we didn't really prepare anything for it. But when the weather perks back up again, I'll start cooking out again. But all we usually cook is, pork chops. Well, I don't cook many steaks out anymore. It's hard to find a good one. And pork chops and hamburgers and stuff like that.
I like barbecue. It's all good. And, a good grilled pork chop or even one of those little pork tenderloins on the grill is about as good as you can get. I like it as much as I do the steak, to tell you the truth.
I guess it's on Mother's Day. This might be Mother's Day weekend. Anyway, my son-in-law, he grills out a lot, and he's got a gas grill. He cooked to some chicken and pork. He took I don't remember what cut. He didn't remember what he got. Now he found something he liked at Ingles, and he just cut it up and cooked it. It was as tender as anything I've had. It was better than, I mean, it was more tender than a tenderloin is. Sometimes a tenderloin gets kind of tough. But he cut that thing up and cooked it on the grill. It was really good. Chicken was too. But pork was really some of the best I've had. If it's tender, I'd rather have pork than a steak most of the time. But it's easier for me to cook. I usually cook mine. I use the thermometer to check mine for sure. But yeah, I don't think you have to worry about pork like you used to years ago. But yeah, the biggest thing I try not to overcook it. But since I get it seared on both sides, I do the same thing. I just pull it off and leave a meat thermometer in it, and we'll get a couple of thicker ones in. Because they seem to cook a little better, or I hadn't tried a loin in a long time. I may try something and cut it up, maybe into a tenderloin, maybe just cut it up and cook it that way rather than whole.
Yeah, you have to worry about trichinosis. I think that's it with pork, but 9 days, that's pretty much non-existent, or so I've been told. But yeah, I cook with a thermometer if I'm cooking a pork loin or even a big thick pork chop, or I'll use an instant read thermometer. But yeah, if you don't overcook it and you get it cooked just right, that's one of the best cuts of meat I think you can get.
And what he got? Of course, he might have got an unusually good piece of pork too. It might have been had a little more. Most of it's lean now. It doesn't have any marble in it to mount anything. It's so lean it'll dry out if you don't try to cook it. I've never brined mine, but I would try that sometime. I don't think I've ever tried that for chicken or pork. People ask you a way to do it too.
We've been cooking some here lately is by those Smithfield pork loins that are marinated. We get the garlic and herb, and I'll take and sear it in a pan and then cook it in a Instant Pot pressure cooker. And it only, after you sear it, it only takes about 18 minutes to cook it. And I tell you, it is good and it is tender and juicy.
We've been doing that Hormel or Smithfield pork shoulders, a little small one. It's only about a pound and a half. It is really tender. It slices, makes good sandwiches or anything else if you want to see it. You can cook those things. It's marinated just like you're talking about. But it's a shoulder. It's probably maybe a pound and a half maybe. But I haven't seen any of those. And I don't know when. Every time we go in, I used to see them at Publix all the time. And every time we go in Publix, we look for them. And I hadn't seen it. Probably been a year, I guess. But I'm not sure if that's because they were letting the pigs get too big before they took them to slaughter or not. But these were just right for two people, more than enough for two. Enough to have a little piece or two for a sandwich or a biscuit later on. But it was really tender. I had tried the loins like that. I need to do that because the other stuff is really good, I know, and I'd have to. I'll see what they got. We have, old folks stay on Wednesdays at the Publix here in South Carolina. So you get 5% off. About all that does is, it get you to spend a little bit more money because we don't pay a sales tax on it. But we usually shop for stuff at Publix on Wednesdays. But I have to look this Wednesday and see if they got one. Yeah, made me hungry again now.
We'll get them pork loins. And like I said, we cook it in the Instant Pot under pressure. And then I take out, like I said, sear it, put it in there, and I cover it with chicken stock. And when I'm finished, I throw me a bag of frozen lima beans in that juice, and then I cook them. and Jana makes some of the best cornbread you ever had, and I tell you, that's a meal.
You talking now, that's what I love, good cornbread. Lynn makes it good too. My daddy taught her, gave her some stuff about how to make cornbread. She makes good cornbread too. But I just didn't have a piece of cornbread to have anything. But that sounds good. We'll have to try. We don't have an Instapot. I have to look into one of those and see what the deal is on that. That sounds good. That's simple too. You got to do a lot of work to get a good meal or two out of that.
If you research them, just you know, look them up online and get you at least a 6-quart. They make a 4, 6, and an 8, but the 6-quart is perfect size for cooking for 2 people. And we cook everything you can imagine in it, but it'll take those flash frozen lima beans, and once it comes up the temp, it takes 6 minutes to cook those beans, and it tastes like you've cooked them all day long if you throw a little piece of fat back in there with them. I mean, we love ours. It costs, we can cook an entire meal in the pork loin, the beans, cornbread, you know, sort of get everything going and ready, and in 45 minutes, you've completely cooked a meal.
Perfect. That sounds like it doesn't require a lot of work, and it's enough, more than enough for 2 people as well. That sounds like a great idea. I'll be looking at those when I go back downstairs and see what I can find out on which one to get. The 6-quart sounds good. We got a crock pot we've had for years. We've used that thing for all kinds of stuff. But you know, it's good for some things, and for other things it's not good for. Lynn cooks, she even does hamburger after she browns, she does hamburger for tacos in her crock pot, because it keeps it nice and moist, because we always have, if kids and grandkids are here, they go down to the lake on Saturday or Sunday, they usually come by here on the way home, we'll have tacos on Saturday or Sunday, and it's easy to fix, and they all like it. And but that's what she does with her. She just did it just as on a whim a few months ago, and it's been really good. But I have to look at that Instapot. That's another one of those things I just hadn't looked into, but I'll definitely do that. N4DJC for ID.
K2RCL. Jerry, don't buy one. Let me check my wife when I get home from laying floor today. I think she has a second one in the box out in the building. If she does, I'll sneak it out and give it to you.
That's fair, but it's mighty kind, David.
Too much stuff out there in the building. I need to get rid of some of it without her knowing about it. So if she does have an extra one, I'll make sure, and I'll let you know.
Hey, I appreciate it. How you doing today, by the way?
Good day. Got the air conditioning installed in this building last Thursday. And I'm in here today laying flooring, so it's nice and cool and comfortable, and I'm not complaining.
You can antenna up pretty soon, aren't you? Are you have it up?
Antenna up at the house. I'm over here at this job in Inman that I'm trying to get finished up before the summer breaks, and it gets 100 degrees outside. I want to be done working by then.
Oh, man, I thought you were working on something for yourself. I heard you talking about it the other day. Just me and Bill in here just running our mouths right now. We ain't got nothing much to do. Bill's sitting over there. He's cooking, and I've already had mine, so you're the only one working in the crab.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt y'all's conversation, but I'm listening while I'm working, and just want to jump in there and say, hey, if we got one, you're welcome to have it if we got an extra one.
Give me a holler later on. I'm good on QRZ on email if you do have something like that. And like I said, we go to Greenville about once a week usually. So, you know, I don't know how far away you are from that, or, you know, but we'll figure something out though. But I appreciate it.
Good, gentlemen. I'll let y'all get back to it, and I'll say 73s. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day, and I'm going to keep plugging at it and see if I can get this floor knocked out. K2RCL, I'll be clear.
ID. 73 is there. Hope you don't have to work too hard today, and I hope that floor goes in good. And Jerry, if he's got one, I'd take him up on it. You won't regret it.
I don't usually read anything that's free or close to free at my age. Don't give me many opportunities like that. That'd be generous. But, I'm going to have to look into that and see what, and then start learning how to do some other kind of cooking. We've been going out a little bit, get some carry-out and stuff. But I tell you, we got so accustomed to eating at home now. I just soon eat at home a lot of times.
I tell you, that Instant Pot makes it, it's just like I said, it's an instant pot. And you can do one pot wonders, sort of, think about a crock pot, but on steroids with a pressure cooking option to speed it along. And they're not like the old-fashioned pressure cookers, not like my grandma had that would almost blow up and kill you. The new ones, they're safe, and you know, you still gotta respect them, but they're a modern marvel, in my opinion.
That ain't to me. We use a pressure cooker. Playing had to use one in a while, but we used to use it all the time when we first got married. A crock pot and a pressure cooker, and just about every other little gadget we tried them all one time or another. And we just, you know, when you start working and you can't get home for lunch, or and you're working late, and then you everybody gets too busy to cook, you kind of get away from them. And this thing this past year kind of put us back the way we were back in the 70s, and we kind of enjoyed eating some of the stuff we used to eat back then, even if it isn't really good for us, but we're enjoying doing it. It brings back some good memories too.
Even if it ain't good for you, sometimes you gotta enjoy life a little. There ain't no need to go through life being miserable. And to me, eating is an enjoyable social and just all-around good time. Sometimes I don't want nothing but a bowl of Cheerios for dinner, and other times I'm wanting those beans and cornbread and a little onion and some kind of meat, and that lets us do it in a jiffy, and it is good, that's for sure.
Most of that stuff, you know where it came from too. Most of the time, you cook it yourself, you know who did it, you know who cooked it. Well, I got to jump out down here for a few minutes. I got to think Lynn needs to run up to Walmart in a little bit, and I need to see if we got a list of anything. We may not need to go today, but we're gonna be busy with heading to Greenville tomorrow afternoon, but. Anyways, good talking to you, and hope everything turns out well on the cooking. It sounds like it's going to be awfully good, no matter what all you got going on. And I don't talk to you again between now and supper time. Tell everybody I said hi. M4DJC, clear after you.
Then I will definitely enjoy the food and the fellowship this afternoon. So one of these days, now that COVID's relaxing, y'all will have to maybe come to Hartwell, and we'll get together and go out to dinner somewhere sometime. We can get Gail and maybe Angie too, and just all have a sit down and talk for a while. But y'all have a safe trip to Walmart. Don't buy too much, and we'll talk to you next time. 73's my friend. Be safe.
Sounds like a great idea. Y'all have a good afternoon. Take it easy. Enjoy yourself. M4DJC.